This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everybody? It is Friday night, which means independent comics and independent wrestling. It's our time to talk about all the ongoings of wrestling and review some really cool independent comic books. We have some great books this week. A number one that's been hyped for a while, and then two books we're really big fans of and we've reviewed before. I think we did issue one back in the day, like a month ago. Fred, what's going down?
You said back in the day. Yeah. A month ago. Holy crap. Well, I got my voice back and I'm ready to go. So it's time to bring it this week.
Yeah, you gave me. Somehow you transferred your like cold allergy, whatever the hell it was, through the internet. And I'm dying over here and I'm on tea, so I might say some dumb things.
I told you that I saw your laptop.
Yeah, I should have Lysol'd the keyboard, should have Lysol'd the microphone, because I'm hurting a bit, but at least I have my voice. I didn't go full Godfather. But yeah, there was a lot of cool wrestling, there was a lot of bad wrestling PR, but we managed to find some good wrestling despite that. So we'll have lots to talk about when we get to that, but first let's go ahead and hit the comics. Our first comic of the week is Money Shot number one. In the near future, space travel is ludicrously expensive and largely ignored. Enter Christine Ocampos, inventor of the Starshot teleportation device, with a big idea. She'll travel to the new worlds, engage intimately with local aliens, and film her episodes for the jaded Earth population trying to find something new on the internet. Now Chris and her merry band of scientists Scientistic come porn star explore the universe. Wow, it got a little dirty there. Each other and the... I totally got off, man. Wow. Okay, we're going now. Chris and her merry band of scientists come porn stars explore the universe. Each other and the complexities of sex in Money Shot, a story about scientists having sex with aliens for the glory of mankind and money. Written by Tim Seeley and Sarah Beatty. Art by Rebecca Isaacs. Color by Kurt Mitchell Russell. Letters by Crank. Published by Vault. Money Shot. Man, I should have read that solicit beforehand. Woo!
Yeah, you got thrown out by the come in,
yes,
part.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I read that beforehand, and I was like, "Oh, wow, okay." Yeah. Well, and after hearing that solicit, you guys know what to expect in this little banter back and forth dialogue here we're gonna have here. This book to me is it's funny, it's witty. In the beginning, it's kind of like what's the girl's name again?
Christina, the main character. Ocampos.
Yes, her. She basically starts like a Patreon page because the United States is having difficulties using science because America's in the wrong hands and they want to dumb down people. So you had to start a Patreon page to get your stuff done so they can, you know, they basically slice funding for science. So the way that she does it is they make a porno. With the aliens, and right off the bat, we get this guy that's like a fish. It's kind of like a Shape of Water part. We all know what the Shape of Water is, and he, you know, he has to wrap his fish stick, or she calls it his tuna wrap.
Tuna wrap, tuna roll.
You almost spit that all over the computer.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was all go time from there. I really got like a feeling of Orgasmo. If you ever seen the movie Orgasmo, where they make a porno, it's the, you know, without the religion aspect. You know, the dude, you know, they have little bits here or there. They're like stunt cock, things like that. They say some messed up things. Yeah. There's a lot of sexual positions they talk about in this book and stuff. But there's also like, you know, social commentary as well in this book, and I thought it was pretty funny, witty. It's very interesting. It's definitely a book that I won't leave around for my kids to pick up. But yeah, man, if you're down with fish sticks, I definitely say you should give this a read.
Yeah, it's really funny. Kind of, I try imagining scientists sitting around the way this book opens up, and she's kind of delegating who's what going to do it. Okay, you're doing over here with him, and you're going to perform this style. And you're over here, you're part of the threesome with alien fish. And you're over here, you guys are going to be doing that. And I'm like, oh, man, it's just going there right away. It's not holding anything back. And the art is amazing, but the art is also leaving nothing to the imagination either. That's why I say you can't even leave it laying around, because the kids don't have to read it to know what this comic book's about. They just have to look at the pictures, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And, yeah, lots of great banter. I guess I'd like more social commentary, but I know it's issue one, so right now it's a little more fluff than substance. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it was about, like, you know, they were trying to tell us about the concept, because remember she was hitting on that one scientist, and she went home and she said she needed to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she went home and she's like sitting there with her, yeah, her rabbit, whatever you might call it, I don't know. And she goes to her computer site. Yeah, so she goes to her internet site, and all of a sudden she sees some weird stuff, you know, kind of like the furry thing. I mean, no disrespect to you furries out there if you're listening, but she comes across Musty Nuts and Asasaurus Rex and some weird shit, and she's like, if this is going on and people are into this, how can we not do something, you know? How can I not find something to fund our science stuff? Because they really want to do something with science and make some, you know, developments in the science field. And the only way that they can do it is with money. So why not make a porno?
Yeah.
And that's what this whole book is about. And it's really funny. You know, you see the dinosaur with a strap on and stuff. It's freaking hilarious, man. I didn't know, like, I was like, oh, man, I'm going to be so uncomfortable talking about this because I know Joe is going to be listening to it later. So
you better put he's going to dig through your boxes for this comic.
So yeah,
you
and he's going to tell his mom and stuff, and she's going to be like, what the heck is this? But it's good.
Yeah.
It's good, and it's Vault. And
it's Tim Seeley. You know,
yeah.
If you like Dark Red, another favorite of ours, you know his humor. And so here he goes somewhere else. And then he's enlisted Sarah Beatty, who's a comedian, and she definitely has a witty,
is she witty?
Rated R humor. If you follow, she's a great follow on Twitter. To
hell
be honest.
Yeah.
She'll crack you up at least once a day.
Yeah. I kind of got the feeling that the main character was kind of based upon her. Did you?
Yeah, I could see that a little bit. Looks a lot like her. It's funny. Yeah. He put out some art, and originally the character didn't have glasses. Like some of his sketches before he turned it over to Rebecca Isaacs to actually do the art. And so his character didn't have them. And somewhere in the transition, the main character got glasses. And Sarah Beatty has glasses. So, you never know.
Yeah, and the next issue is called Balls to the Wall, I believe. So, I mean, you know where we're going to go with this, and it's going to be crazy. I can't wait to see who's next on the list. And, you know, I want to hear some more of these names and things like that. But it's definitely, it's an enjoyable read. It gets serious, too, in certain parts where they're trying to, you know, they're discussing science. And you get a backstory or a short little blurb about each scientist and what they want to do and what they're into in the science field, not in the other field. Well, you'll get that, too. Yeah. But, definitely take a look at it if you're not turned off by this type of stuff.
One of the main male scientists is very excited to do this, as long as he gets to have his own porn name, you know, that he invented. You know, so.
Yeah, what's his name? Like, his real name is Doug Cox, but he wanted to be called something. What was his name?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was some outrageous, like.
Oh, I'll find it. I got it right here. It is called Supermassive Black Hole.
Yes, that's what he wanted to be called.
Yeah, he said it exactly says here. He's like, my porn. He was like, I want to be called Supermassive Black Hole, and she's like, what? but your real name is Doug Cock. Mm-hmm. And he was like, my porn name, I'm in, but only if everyone calls me Supermassive Black Hole. So I guess you'll find out what Doug's into.
Also, a little call back to Dark Red. Tim Seeley does do a good job of weaving in his political views and a little social commentary. The cracks on the administration that is anti-science. There's some good stuff in there. So
it's definitely a fun read. And if you're not like turned off by them discussing this stuff, then definitely pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up. Don't leave it laying around, though.
No, not at all.
All right, let's move on to the next one. It's going to be hard to follow that one up. Tommy Gun Wizards number 3. As Elliot Ness works to bring down Al Capone's illegal magical ring, dark wizards begin to invade the dreams of the Untouchables and Ness's own family. Meanwhile, Ness discovers that something worse than Capone is behind the whole operation. Story by Christian Ward, art by Sammy Cavella, colors by Christian Ward and Danny Cuniff, letters by Hassan Otaman Elihu. The extra comic that's in the back is written and illustrated by Christian Ward. Published by Dark Horse, Tommy Gun Wizards.
Okay, this book right here, I'm hoping that it gets an extended run because I really enjoyed like the first 3 issues. I like where it's going. It's taking a sci-fi approach now, a direction this time. Yeah. And that interests me a lot because, you know, first of all, I'm really into like mobster stuff, anything mafia. I mean, as a kid, I was always into mafia movies, mafia books, John Gotti, you know, things like that. I've owned the original A&E documentary that was like 20 some videos of about the mafia, like how to get in and stuff, and I could never be made. I'm only half. but, you know, this book right here, I'm all about, because you got the mob start part, and then you throw in some magic, which, you know, it basically replaces, like, the alcohol and stuff from that era of Capone and stuff. And then now they're introducing Overlord Toad?
Yeah.
And, man, this is getting really wild. And with the magic, I mean, here's the big ups for, who was it, Christian Ward wrote this book. Thank you, Christian, for, you know, instead of taking the mob scene to a restaurant or to a produce company or to a trash company, like most Italians get labeled, you took it to a meat market. And I enjoyed that part because with the bulls and stuff like that, when they get some magic in their charge and stuff, I was like, oh, that was awesome. That's a great touch. Because no one's going to get mad if there's, like, cucumbers or tomatoes chasing them. But if you get to bring a bull to life or something, now that was pretty sweet. And I just really like this book. What do you think about it, Andrew?
Yeah, this was my favorite book of the week. I really like, and I know I've mentioned this before, probably when we did the first one, I like when you take historical figures and kind of throw some kind of fictional fun thing with them, like Capone is actually a magic user and Elliot Ness is a wizard, and you know that's why they were so good at what they did. They were more than just regular and we didn't know. I've always dug that kind of concept when you do that with historical figures to make them more interesting. And the story got a little deeper, got a little darker. Capone's working some Ness is working some angles with some people that are on the bad guy side, which is very interesting. He's working with a woman that we don't know if she's good or bad or what her intentions are. And then Capone is kind of losing it Capone style. You know what I mean? He just wants to take over the whole world. And then going to that extra comic, this is the first time I understood the end comic. You know, they've had this little 3 pages of the end comic every time. And I've been like, I don't know what the hell this is. I just kind of read it and I'm like, I don't know what the hell I just read. But this was the first time I saw, oh, okay, I kind of see where they're going now. And like you said, the sci-fi part. Or is this another dimension? Is this another planet? Well, you know, now I'm starting to ask sci-fi questions that I wasn't asking before. So, yeah, I'm totally with you on that. But it's a great-looking book. A lot of fun. Like you said, a really interesting concept.
What would you, like, okay, seeing we're talking about, like, mobster stuff. And, you know, issue 3 gives a lot of, the mobster names to each character.
Mm-hmm.
What would you call yourself?
What would I call myself? Gosh, I don't know.
Because for me, I would either be like Fucknuts Freddy or Freddy the Nose or something like that, you know. But those are names I've been called in the past, man. So that's easy for me.
Oh, man. No, I don't have anything like that. Man, I'm trying to think. We're boring on our side, you know.
Well, you got to step it up, spice it up, you know. Yeah. It's spicy meatball.
Gosh, I don't have anything. I don't know what to call myself. Just call me Anchovies or something.
There's a Andrew the Anchovy?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that'll work. The antipasta salad.
It stinks.
It does stink. I know. I got nothing. I wouldn't be made. There's no way.
Andrew the Anchovy. Okay. Do you hear that, Dr. Joe? Tag him.
No, do not. I mean, nothing can compare to Joey Bag of Donuts, so he's already got the best name. So.
Well, then other times he's called Joey Ravioli, so you know.
That works too.
But there's no ravioli emoji, so I can't put it on there, so it's not as cool.
There might be a wonton or something. You can fake it. But yeah, check out this book. I mean, I really like this book.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the book and the finished product, like the art is great by Sammy, who, if you happen to read like Abbott, it's got that vibe. It's got that grittiness of, you know, the era. And then the colors have a lot of color tones that Christian Ward uses himself in Invisible Kingdom with the pinks and things, which is pretty sweet.
Lots of pinks.
Who colors it? D. Cundiff? Is that who?
And also Christian Ward did some coloring on this particular issue as well.
Oh, did he? Mm-hmm. So maybe he added the pinks.
Yeah. But. Well, our lead female, I guess, villain, I wish I could remember her name right now. She's pink. It's reddish hair, but it's red that's kind of, you know, it's almost, it could shade into a pink, you know, so it's a lighter red.
But yeah, definitely this is a fun book. It's the action picks up in this book. I thought it was only a 4-issue run, but man, we need more than this. So
when does it start getting called the new name?
The next issue.
Oh, okay.
So if you have the first 3 issues, they're going to be collector items because the name is being changed. So that money should be going up. So if you're trying to sell your books on eBay, which I don't do, but... you know, these are, it's definitely like it's gonna bring up some value for the people that do. So it's a great book, and Dark Horse has been putting out some good books lately.
And the funny thing is, because I jumped on this late, I didn't have it subbed, and so I've had to go run to the shop to make sure I get a copy first thing when the shop opens, to make sure I get a copy of it every time. So I've been really loyal to this book, getting my ass up and standing in line. All right, let's go on to number 3 this week. Resident number 4. Paxson learns that the only rule of Honcho's learns the only rule of Honcho's Island. Fight for him or die. After leaving home, Ty finds refuge with a group of religious, devout survivors. This congregation welcomes Ty with open arms, but what will be required of him to stay? Left at the family cabin, Beck finds evidence of an unwanted visitor. Written by David Andry. Art by Alejandro Aragon. Colors by Jason Wordy. Lettered by Darian Bennett. Published by Vault Resonant. Sorry.
Yes, this book right here is one of my favorite titles in by Vault. And this issue, we're getting like 3 different stories going at once because we have the dad, what's his name again? Paxson?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Paxson.
He's on the island with Honcho, who's kind of like, it's kind of like, I get a feel of like, it's kind of like Survivor on the island, but what is that movie with the, you know, the bow and arrow and stuff, you know, where they do this? I'm throwing up 3 fingers. What's it? Hunger Games?
Hunger Games, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Lord of the Flies or something. I was like, what's he talking about?
I don't even know what that is. But yeah, I get like the feel like there, like this dude owns a place and he calls like Paxson like ninja, karate man, things like that. And he whacks, was it 2 people on that island this issue? Like the main dude?
Does he do two or just one? I'm trying to think.
Well, the woman starts running, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if she was trying to run away because some of them have like a vest or something on.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure, like, and then that's when the waves kick in.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what happens to her because I know he kind of like forearm shivers her in the back of the head or something, and then she gives him a dirty look, things like that. But yeah, we get that story, and then we get the story of Ty where he's like, you know, looking for Elijah, and he's going through the forest, and he runs into these two kids. I think their name's like Zeke and what is the other kid's name? Zeke and
Ty. Oh, you mean the kids he found?
Yeah, Zeke and I can't remember the other kid's name. The two white kids. They.
Mm-hmm. It's Zeke's older brother, I think.
Yeah, they're the ones that. Oh, it's Noah. Okay, Noah. I found it. His name is Noah and Zeke. He sees these guys, and they take him to the congregation. And this is where it starts to get a little bit weird on this part. Because it gets a little cultish. And, you know, they think that you can pray away the waves and things like that. And these kids' parents are, like, kind of like David Koresh-ish. Did you get that feel?
A little bit. Maybe not as Koresh-ish, but definitely, like, there's a little, I'm creeped by it. I'm definitely
It's definitely creepy, especially, you know, like underneath the cross it says fear not the waves but Jesus saves and things like
that. It has that revival tent feel.
Yeah, and it's a little scary, especially like you know, Ty learns that what's his dad always say there what's his mantra that he always says, like, there's not oh gosh, I had it too.
Old man moment. More fish.
I'll let you talk about.
Well, you look that for it. Fish. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this issue went a little different. Like you said, we introduced these like different communities, and I'm going to give this book what I consider the ultimate compliment. You and I disagree on this, but this had a lot of Walking Dead for me, and I mean that in a really good way. Because one of my favorite things about Walking Dead was always the different communities they came upon, and Honcho on the island has a lot of Negan / saviors kind of things. They even kill some guy with a bat. Now they like beat the guys to death with like sticks and a bat. That's very Negan. Then the you know, the people in the commune, the revival, that reminds me of some of the kind of religious zealots that they come across in Walking Dead. So that's where I'm kind of feeling, it's like, okay, so there's this world out here and there's these different communities who are handling, instead of zombies, handling this wave in their own unique kind of warped way. And that's why immediately I did not accept these religious people as like something good. I'm like, nah, there's more to this. There's something under this happy-go-lucky, let's all pray shit. Something bad's going to happen. Human sacrifice or some crazy-ass shit. I'm just waiting for it. You know, and poor little Ty just walked into hell and doesn't realize it yet. So, yeah, I really like it. And then Rebecca, it's easy to forget about them because they're just in the cabin, but the cover gives away what's going to happen next because it never happened in the rest of the book, but the cover has that big old bear on it. Uh-huh. So we know a bear's coming, and so Rebecca is going to have to fight off a freaking bear, you know?
Yeah.
So this book is really cool. It's fast-paced. It's moving. He's mm-hmm. building a big world, you know, bigger than I imagined when I first started reading the book back in 1. I thought it was just going to be a more contained story. The father's on a mission to get the medicine to come back. And now we've branched out. He's off on an island. The other little boy ran away with these people. This thing just got huge.
Yeah, and then I did find what Paxton says is like he says the world is nothing, or the world is empty and full of nothing. And, you know, so that's what they kind of like his mantra. And then the mantra of the congregation is fear not the waves, but Jesus saves.
Yeah.
And that's totally different thinking. Yeah.
And it left us on a cliffhanger. We don't know if the praying works.
You know? True. Because he asked to be saved, but is he asking, he says, save me.
Mm-hmm.
But is he saying save me because he doesn't think that it's working what they're doing? or because it's, you know,
or he's
used to like doing the mantra that, you know, his dad, his sister always do, because don't they do the same mantra?
I think so. Or he could just be going like he's given into the religious part of it and just saying, you know, save me.
Yeah, it did feel that way. Like he was like, just please save me, because he was fearful mm-hmm. of what was to happen, because he knows what's going to happen.
And
so out of fear, he says it.
Yeah, so great ending, and it leaves us hanging, and we don't know what's going to happen. You know,
yeah.
He's just looking up, and we'll see what's going to happen next.
But where you mentioned, like, the vibe of Walking Dead,
mm-hmm.
I did get that feel when they showed some of these people and what they looked like when the waves were happening. Like, they looked like zombies.
Mm, yeah.
Even Paxton did a little bit, like his eyes started like rolling back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they stopped him in the middle of his mantra.
Yep.
You know, so.
I thought maybe it's a seizure because.
Oh, maybe.
Because on the island, they put that kind of vest on them and uh-huh. kind of strap them kind of so they don't hurt themselves. So I thought maybe is this some sort of seizure, that it's some kind of wave that affects the brain, a brain
wave,
and they're having seizures.
Like a sensory overload?
Yeah, something like that.
That causes it, like something triggers it, like some people that have seizure sensory things, mm-hmm. like it could be like flashing lights that cause
yeah.
it, or certain noise could cause somebody
and
to
And some
have
are
a
more
seizure.
Sensitive than others.
It could be, because I think, who's it, David Andre, I read that he was like a therapist. I want to say like physical therapist and stuff. So this could be something that he's putting in
mm-hmm.
To the book, which makes sense, because I know as a father of a kid with a cerebral palsy, this guy really gets it. And you know he's attached to it. Like he's been in this field before, because he gets the dynamics of families. And a lot of families that have children with special needs or whatever you may label them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very close because they're used to doing it themselves yeah. with no help. And he totally shows it. And he shows it with like the, you know, the brother and sister and the tightness, or the father and the other two, the other son, how they're just, they work together. They do what they have to do to survive. And I can't wait for her to kick some ass later in this book, because I'm sure that bear's got something coming.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny you say that they even fight like, that like the little brother is not like, oh well, my sister has a disability and I should be nice
no.
to her. Hell no.
No, he's like she's just like me.
He's like, F off, I'm out of here. You suck.
Yeah.
And she's yeah. like, no, F off you. Get the hell out. You suck yeah. too. You know? And like, yeah.
Everybody's treated as an equal, but I mean you stick together when times are tough. That's
yeah.
how it works. And he definitely gets it. This is definitely a great book. I'm all in. Like, this is one of my favorite books of this year. Titles. It's definitely in my top five. I've said it endless times that it is. And I mean, I really suggest if you read indie comics that this is a title that you should pick up, because you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, I am really curious how deep it goes, because when I say Walking Dead, you can go a long time with this kind of stuff. But I don't know Vault really. The longest series Vault has is what, maybe Wasted Space? And that's only what, 9, 10? That's not very far. You know, Savage Shore, no, that doesn't go that far either. So they tend to have shorter series, but I hope.
Maybe we'll get like a 8 or 10 issue run, but then we get like a spinoff.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So make a universe, because we need more characters like this.
Yeah.
The world needs more.
I want to know more about that town they went to trade at. We just kind of went through that town. They didn't even stay
yeah.
there, and there was all kinds of interesting. What's up with this lady?
Yeah,
in the cage?
You know what's crazy about that is, like, I used to watch this show called Revolution, and this it was on NBC, and it was like the end of the world, and the United States is like in all different groups, and that town reminded me of that show.
Hmm.
And I think it's really cool concept. And I think, like, if they ever, or if somebody ever makes a book based upon, like, that kind of concept, man, that's going to be amazing, too. I'd buy the crap out of that.
Did the dog make it? I hope the dog made it. Don't kill dogs.
I know. You're always worrying about the dogs.
I always worry about the dogs, man.
But that bearded dude in the beginning looked like Weekend at Bernie's. He said, fuck him. Looking like the Big Lebowski's, what's that dude's name?
Oh, yeah.
the man, what's his name on that?
The dude.
The dude, yeah. He kind of did look like him.
Yeah, much skinnier version, but yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But yeah, that's why he reminded me, the bad guy reminded me of Negan. Wow, yes, for God's sake, just kill him already.
You know, yeah.
That's very, like, I can totally hear, what's his name, the guy who plays Negan saying that, Dean, Dean Morgan.
I thought you were going to say Dean Ambrose.
No, yeah, Dean Ambrose would say that too. Oh, God, just kill him already. Yep. All right. Well, that's our comics for this week. I hope you enjoyed them. Check them out. I recommend all three. Vault is killing it. We had a nice one from Dark Horse as well. So yeah. Right on. Let's jump into the wrestling. Time to wrestle, nerds. What's up, Lucha Libre? You look like something out of Rick and Morty.
Ice Cream Junior.
Ice Cream Junior. Well, I don't know who Ice Cream Junior is.
He's got a cherry on top.
Yeah, and I got that comb beard.
Oh, okay.
I hope.
And where does Ice Cream Junior wrestle?
He wrestles in Chikara. Chikara Wrestling.
Is that Spanish or Japanese?
It might be like a Japanese, maybe.
I don't.
The name might be, but I know the promotion is.
They have a Japanese symbol, but it's in like Philadelphia, I believe.
And there's a lot of weird characters. So they have the ice creams and then a bunch of different ants. Like there's like a bunch of masked guys dressed as ants and they all have different names.
Yeah, what's that one dude? Gentleman Jervis started there.
Yep.
So it's a lot of characters like that. I'm pretty sure you can probably get his mask through their website as well.
I'm pretty sure. Almost all their masks look the same. Like they're the same
style. That's racist.
They're the same style.
Racist. All the ants look the same.
Yeah, that's messed up.
It's kind of like the clowns in AAA. Speaking of AAA, they didn't do anything this week. So much for that being the best promotion. Gotcha. All right, let's move on. Anything happen in New Japan?
The tournament's happening, but it's not my cup of tea. I'm not in. I don't watch New Japan wrestling for tag team wrestling. I like to see one-on-one stuff.
Do you know who's in the finals at least? Because I haven't watched anything. Or
I think it's Yo and Sho versus El Desperado and I forgot the other guy's name.
Is the other guy a guy without a mask?
Is it Doki?
Doki's the guy with the face mask and he's got like a long hair.
I don't think it's him.
Yeah, I think it's an Asian guy too, right?
Yeah, he has an Asian last name like Shuki.
Oh, it's that guy. It's I think it's the guy that he was like a light.
Are you gonna call him light skinned?
No, he was the light heavyweight. He was the only cruiserweight wrestler in WWE before. Like it was him and
what?
Yeah, when they tried to copy
Tajiri.
No.
Okay.
They tried to copy WCW, and he was the only person they could find. I forgot his name.
That's a deep dig. We're going to have to Google that, because I don't know if you're telling the truth or not. You've got
me. I think he's bullshitting us like he did with Kalisto going to AAA.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's fake news website over here.
They fake news to us.
Joe's giving us all this.
It was him talking.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah. I don't care.
And it was his matches.
It wasn't him. I told you it wasn't him.
The previews, the highlights were him.
That dude was actually from Mexico. You can tell when somebody's from Mexico and somebody's from Chicago. That dude did, his accent was stronger.
The highlights had Kalisto with the tattoos, and when he showed up, he didn't have any. Mm. So he was fake.
So they used old footage.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they replaced him.
The old switcheroo. Yeah, I was kind of slow. I watched the ROH. They're in the UK. You know, there were some good matches. There were some bad matches. It has a pay-per-view feel. I didn't watch all of it. I've been so busy, and there's like been a thing every day. And then Jay Lethal hurt himself. Brody King hurt himself. It's like, man, this wasn't a good trip for those guys. They ended up with a bunch of people hurt. Even before it started, one of Aussie Open hurt himself.
I don't like those guys anyways.
So. Whatever, dude. They're good.
They're good. But Marty Scurll in the UK was fun to watch. He was playing up the crowd, so... If nothing else, fast forward the other stuff, watch Marty. But ROH still has got a problem, and I guess today they had like a Twitter meltdown, and there's all kinds of behind-the-scenes garbage going down. I don't know. ROH might be on the chopping block, and maybe WWE buys them. What do you guys think?
I hope not.
Well, I mean, what were they going to do with ROH after?
I think WWE would buy their library,
yeah.
But I'm hoping that they wouldn't get all the wrestlers.
They're not going to get the wrestlers because they're allowed to leave before they...
They'd fold ROH.
They buy the company,
ROH,
but not the wrestlers.
I think. They would fold ROH, take the library, smack it on the network for an extra few
dollars
a month.
Yeah, because they want the library because you get Bryan Danielson, you get all the CM Punk stuff, all the Cesaro stuff, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens,
Seth
all
Rollins.
That stuff.
Yep.
Because everyone WWE has besides Roman Reigns is from ROH. Or pretty much, mm-hmm. like all their main talents.
Yep.
Samoa Joe, Raven, all those dudes.
Make a contract offer to some of the younger talent, put them on NXT, and that's all she wrote. Buy ROH. So
they don't need Bandita. That's the only person they don't want to go.
Well, it came out, I don't know if it's true or not, but the guy tweeting all this stuff said that Bandita was up in January. So someone needs to make a play for Bandito's up, PJ Black, and Shane Taylor.
Well, PJ Black's getting old.
Yeah, but he could give AEW just enough, or maybe he could do some work in NWA, your other favorite for old guys. I mean, if Sandow can work, oh, Lord, you know, PJ can work. Better than Sandow.
I don't know if PJ would work there because NWA is... basically like promo stuff, and I don't think he's a promo guy, like or he has a strong enough character, because if you're watching NWA, you're not watching it for the matches.
That's
you're watching
true.
It for the promo and the storytelling, the characters. Like,
no wonder the show's terrible.
So where would you see PJ
matches.
Black? Impact?
I could
Mexico and Japan. Because I'm pretty sure a lot of guys just do Mexico and Japan.
Yeah, because he's got that style that's kind of like high flyer, luchador. I mean, if he did go to AEW, it would be for a limited time because I don't think he can sustain a long run.
No.
Because I feel like he's kind of like a part-time guy now. So if you're going to part-time it, then you go to... But I don't know if he could hang in Japan because can he get like...
Those are long matches.
He's a kick guy.
Yeah, plus he's going to get like just... They'll beat the hell out of you with like their chops, and there's
a
lot of stiff stuff.
And that
he's
dude came
he,
back.
He does a lot of kicks.
What?
Yeah, but
he does a lot of kicks.
He came back from a base jumping accident. He broke like every bone in his body. Base jumping.
Yeah, I don't think he would want to go to New Japan because you get like they don't care. They're just like they just want to destroy dudes, and it's all about like machismo and
might be too physical for him there.
Yeah, I think it might be, because I'm surprised that Juice Robinson, he went from a dude that was kind of flamboyant and not seem very
NXT too, right?
But he wasn't that tough, and now he's like a straight badass. Like he's chopping it up with all of them. You know, you got to be able to take a chop. You can't be like...
I don't think I
because
could take
I
a
think,
Big Show chop.
I think PJ Black, he takes a chop. He's falling down looking like Jordan Oliver.
Wow. So if
I don't think I could take...
If ROH closes tomorrow and you have the money and you're either AEW or whatever, who do you want? Who's your number one get out of ROH?
Skrull and Bandito.
Briscoes.
Oh, I forgot about them.
Briscoes are money for any organization that wants to have tag team. And if AEW wants to continue to have great tag team, you got to get them.
Yeah.
And they need to sign a deal with New Japan so they can get other tag teams on there, like the Gorillas against the Briscoes. So it's a higher up, so more people see it.
Yeah, I think that the Japanese fans need to see the Briscoes in Japan too, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice.
Because I think they've done most of their matches here in the States against mm-hmm. each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, even the Ring of Honor X Japan show, it was in the U.S.
I've heard, though, they're like actually, they like actually work at their business. And that's one of the reasons they don't want to be gone super long. You know what I mean? And so I don't know. Like, that's why they would never sign with WWE, as I've heard that work schedule. interferes with their ability to do what they do, I guess, outside of wrestling. So, but I don't know.
Of the Briscoes?
Yeah, the Briscoes, because they're real farmers.
So then doing one day a week for AEW is not asking too much, is it? Yeah, that makes more sense. Because they don't tour during the week and wrestle all these like house shows. They just one day a week tape. That's it.
That's why Ring of Honor works, because they tape it all like months before. Mm-hmm. And they get like a month off or something.
But they're still so good. Even they did some singles matches in what I just watched, and they were amazing. So they still have it.
NWA could have them.
I want to see like them to do a promo with like Britt Baker. Because they got some jacked up teeth. They got summer teeth. Some are here, some are there.
So you're saying Britt comes out and goes like, "Oh my God, both of you need an appointment with me."
She's like, "Oh wow, I can't even fix this." And she finally quits being a dentist and she actually puts in more time wrestling.
That's messed up.
Bam.
Good stuff. Or they could use them in NWA because on Ring of Honor they talk about how much they hate it. So if they showed up there.
The Briscoes. On NWA.
They hate NWA.
No, NWA hates, I think, using Briscoes.
I'm Team Briscoes.
He's just saying that because he's trying to like diss on NWA.
No, that's what he's doing. Remember when they lost that one match and they blamed it on the ref? So they attack like everybody in the locker room, attack the refs, and they want to claim that there was fines, but there wasn't. Okay, because wrestling's fake, right? But
careful.
They could use them there, so they can bring some heat over to
NWA.
Into the fire.
All right, let's talk about NWA. Since he seems so interested to talk about NWA, I thought it was a decent episode. Cabana cracks me up. It was all right. The women's match wasn't bad. I was shocked that Ashley Vox won again.
Yeah, I thought that like is it Aaron Stevens? Every time they talk about his pirate thing, it looks like it does. I think you mentioned it. It's reminds you of
It looks like something on Money Shot.
Yeah. No, there's no fish sticks, but I could see where you see that type of stuff. It does seem like that. It's bad acting.
Definitely.
But my big part of this episode that I seen on NWA was seeing Thunder Rosa make her
finally show up.
Yeah, she showed up and didn't she try to shake hands with Marty Bell? Yeah, I don't understand what
that's about. That hasn't been explained.
I think it's because they kept saying that Marty Bell is Hispanic. Mm. So I think they were like, oh, because, she's Mexican and she's Hispanic, then they're automatically friends because that's their culture. Because
that's the good old boys like that stuff.
Yeah, that's what they think is, and they might not both be Mexican, see, but because they speak Spanish.
Yeah. Exactly. I thought maybe they had teamed together somewhere in the Indies, and I just don't know their backgrounds that well.
No, wasn't it just Thunder and Holly Dead?
Yeah, Holly Dead, I know, worked with her a lot. Oh, which I'm kind of surprised she's not there yet.
And Rosa did stuff in Underground, and she wasn't there.
Yeah. Either. What was her name there?
She was something Moon.
Luna Moon, I think, or something like that.
I don't know. She
Luna is a moon, right?
Yeah. She did something with Drago and stuff, started like a snake and dragon thing.
But they're hyping her. You'd think Ember she was Moon. Like the biggest thing in the world, man. They keep sending promos like, she's coming. It's like, oh my God, Thunder Rosa. I'm like, wow, I didn't know she was that big. I mean, I've kind of followed her. I follow her more. Your dad doesn't like him, but I like Sammy Guevara. He's always busting on her. If you watch his show, he's always totally.
That doesn't sound right.
What?
Well, it's the comic tweet.
That's messed up.
Are you sure he had his headphones in earlier?
No, he didn't. He says some messed up things.
But yeah, he's totally messing with her constantly. I saw this one thing where this fan at a meet and greet wore a Sammy Guevara shirt to her table to get signed, and she lifted up his shirt and gave him a slap, like one of the hard chops. Pretty hard, too. And said, that's what you...
I'm not... on yeah. the fan?
I mean, I'm sure the fan, like, she asked if she could do it, but yeah, she hit him good and said, that's what happens when you wear a Sammy Guevara shirt to my meet and greet.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So they have this little thing going on between them. It's pretty funny. He calls her old and stuff. That's all I knew about her until recently. Well, that's it for NWA then, unless you guys have something else. We can move on to, what else is there? Well, you guys watched that.
MLW?
See. MLW? Oh, yeah, MLW. I didn't watch that, so that's why I forgot about it. Tell me about MLW.
Well, I'm pretty sure. It was just, okay, so is Dragon Lee Promociones Dorado? First match was Dragon Lee and Extreme Tiger. I don't know, maybe he's a crash guy. But, it was those two versus the Hart Foundation. It was a great match. Pillman and Dragon Lee did some great work. And
nice.
It's a Dragon Lee match, so it was good. Oh, and Pillman kept mocking Roosh by getting on the ground and like doing the Naito thing.
Oh, the tranquilo.
Yeah. And then. I don't remember what the other matches were, but the main event was Contra versus Promocionos Dorado, and they're building up the whole thing about them attacking his son, LA Park's son, and then there's the Super Fight Show. So it was Bestia, some guy, something about a wolf or something, I don't know. He's never been on the show, but I guess he's with them. And LA Park versus Gotch, Akira Kwan and Joseph Samayo.
So who's going to win this weekend?
Oh, wow. See, I don't know. They could put like their factions like interrupt or something. But
so when it's all over, who's the heavyweight champion of MLW? La Parca or Fatu?
First of all, it's LA Park. La Parca is the fake, but I kind of think that Fatu would.
Okay, win. That's your pick. For we some have it reason, on record, sounds good. You guys got it right. I'm still debating. I'm probably gonna get it. I'm gonna break down and get it. I'm gonna be bored, and I'm gonna get it.
Yeah, might as well. It's on tomorrow, right? Is it tomorrow?
I don't know if it's tomorrow or Sunday. I can't remember.
I thought it was tomorrow. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, for some reason, I thought it was.
But who do you think is going to win?
Who?
Fatu or Park?
Are you asking me or yes. Andrew?
You.
L.A. Park.
Because
I'm going to say Fatu.
De La Renta, I think De La Renta earns the title because she is the shiznit.
She's the shiznit.
But she's his voice.
He's only defended it like once or twice, so it doesn't feel right to take it
away.
It's a stopgap.
For Davey Boy Smith.
If it comes off Fatu, it makes me wonder if Fatu's leaving. Dun, dun, dun. Start the rumors.
Or he comes back with face paint and looks like his Uncle Umaga.
Just as long as he doesn't go to the WWE. All right, let's see, what else have we covered? Oh, you guys got to tell me about CWC, what is it? GCW.
That's all you. I only seen the first part, but the first part was crazy because one dude acts like Rob Van Dam, jumped like three rows back off the top rope. That's all I seen.
Oh, so we don't want to spoil it for you. All right, I'll let you out of it.
Nope. Wait, no, you can spoil it. It just sounds a lot ECW heavy.
I thought it was great. No. Yeah. If you're a fan of ECW, then GCW is probably your type of thing because you see some crazy balcony moves that a dude jumps through a fan, a ceiling fan, jeez, to do a flip on a dude. Yeah, the fan is going and he waits for it to get to the certain point to jump down through.
Jesus.
Yes, right? And then you got Jordan Oliver gets his ass handed to him, and it was outstanding. It was the best thing. Like, the Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson, just, wow, he turned him inside out like four or five times at least, and it was amazing. He put him through doors. You get a lot of doors. You get a lot of chairs at certain matches. It depends, like, who's wrestling, but It's not like CCW that's like
CZW
that it's heavy. Like yeah deathmatch type stuff. It's more like ECW style of hardcore stuff, gotcha. Which is it's you know if you're not a fan of like a lot of blood, then this might be your thing. But I have seen dudes get split open pretty bad here wow. too. But it happens in AEW too. So
true.
You know, so it just depends. Yeah, it was good, and I think a lot of their pay-per-views, I think they have one in a week, not this weekend, but next weekend, and it's like $13, so it's affordable. It's like a price of one movie ticket to get it, if you think of it that way, and a lot of big stars come from there. If you like Beyond Wrestling and things like that, then definitely take a look at GCW. Game Changer Wrestling.
There you go. I may have to look at it. I didn't watch as much as I should this week because I was just not feeling well. All right, well, let's go into the big two. I think that it was two of the best shows that they've put on. Both of them put on great shows. Sadly, nobody watched. The ratings were down. Baseball kicked the shit out of wrestling this week. But good show. I personally think, I know we're going to argue this, that NXT won the night. I think they were the better show. But what do you guys think?
See, I was planning on watching the rest of NXT when I got home, mm-hmm. but I didn't.
Well, but, you missed out.
I watched the top 10 of NXT, mm-hmm. and I watched the what's their tag team name? Asuka and Kairi. What are
the
names?
Kabuki Warriors?
Yep, the Kabuki Warriors match.
Okay.
I fell asleep.
Oh.
I thought that...
and then woke back up when it ended.
I thought...
I seen the end part.
NXT was good. It was heavy on, like, they put the women over big time.
Yeah.
Which, with the war game stuff. And even, like, it started off with the women's match, which was pretty sweet. But even, I think the match of the night on there was Tyler Bate and Cameron Grimes.
I thought that was
outstanding, like just the moves that they were doing back and forth, and finally to see like Tyler Bate have somebody that could hang with him, and the same for Cameron Grimes was outstanding. Like it was a perfect match. Like we need a rematch of that match. Like
no more steampunk hillbillies.
Yeah, that was a good match.
No, he's still a steampunk hillbilly.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to do only those bad matches.
Moonshine versus Mustache Mountain. It was good. Like they had little back and forth moves, reversals, things back and forth. But altogether, it was a great show. And the, you know, Finn Balor is Prince Devitt again. Well, is he Prince Balor?
Yeah, he'll be Prince Balor. But yeah, he was.
Wait, they're changing his name to Prince Balor?
No, he said it's time to be a prince. Isn't that what he said? And he was like, "There's a lot of Twitter tough guys. Like he's pretending to be the guy he was in New Japan."
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Oh, yeah. His promo was outstanding.
And it was awesome. I thought it was good that they used him and Asuka and Kairi. You know, Asuka deserves more time because...
Please.
Honestly, I think she's probably the best women's wrestler out there. Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen her, but...
Is she better than Tessa?
Is she better than Tessa? Yeah, she's better than Tessa.
I would say yes, too.
Yeah, she's better. She can. I'd rather see Asuka fight a dude than Tessa.
And it's not like Tessa has like the promo skills of Sasha Banks or anything. Tessa's not exactly great on the mic.
No, it's
But
she makes that same facial expression all the time, like somebody fucking farted around her. But no, it's just that's the face she makes. I mean, they could say anything. I mean. Us Midwesterners, you know, we sound nasally. Those make fun of my nose. It's fine. It's cool. You know.
But they're the women's tag team champs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where have you been?
They just came down for that match, but it was a perfect come down to kind of give Team Kick is what they used to call themselves. I don't think I've heard them call themselves that, but to give Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox a bump. And it was mainly to give Tegan a bump, if you ask me, because poor Dakota Kai took the whole beating almost the whole damn match. And then Nox just came in and kind of ran around off them and then got beat. But it's also the Joshi thing called Asuka, one of the greatest Joshi performers ever, for example. And then they're still calling Io the Joshi Judas. So they're working in the word Joshi. And they have probably, in my opinion, three of the best Japanese wrestlers, Joshi wrestlers that exist. I mean, there could be some others in Japan. I don't claim to be an expert. But no offense, AEW, you don't have anybody at the level of these three. These three are really good. And they proved it. I mean, that entrance that Io had, and then she had a great match. She busted Candice open and had a great match, and then a little brawl with Rhea just to make it more interesting. And then the Kabuki Warriors look so good. You forget how good that Kairi and Asuka are because they never put them on TV on the big show. But they're just amazing.
Somebody just needs to rip those belts. Somebody needs to take the belts from them and just leave them on NXT.
Mm.
That will kick the ratings.
Maybe. At least they get used. But, yeah.
They put them down there just for once.
Just to set it up. Because they got out of that mess once all the women came down and it became the big old brawl.
Well, but did you hear that Survivor Series is going to have NXT guys are on it too?
But I bet you it's just the guys, right?
I'm not sure. I know right now they're just talking like Adam Cole, like they're teasing Adam Cole.
When I was over there, it said something about Baszler showing up on SmackDown.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, they probably are because a lot of those people missing the planes and stuff. Yeah. They're having, so they have to get some NXT people and bring them to.
Interesting.
So that might also help the ratings too, though, because then, you know, if you don't necessarily watch NXT, like, and you happen to see somebody and you're like, who is this person?
I think,
you
know? It was Baszler-Becky standoff.
Wow.
Well, I'd like to see that because
Becky. I'd like to see that on NXT. I don't know if I'd like to see that in a SmackDown where they give them like 5 minutes and Lacey Evans comes out and throws one of her punches and that's the end of the match. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that.
You nasty. You little nasty.
So that's where they'll ruin it. But I just thought it was a great show. I really liked NXT. I liked the way they weaved in the promos and the way they weaved in the packages. Like you said, that Grimes match was excellent. The main event was cool. I liked Keith Lee with Riddle. And, yeah, got a chance to finally get Fish and O'Reilly out there to do something.
Please.
So that was a good match.
And Roderick Strong didn't wrestle, so that was a plus.
Roderick didn't wrestle. Or
Dominik Dijakovic.
Yep, he didn't wrestle either, so that was good.
But we got Keith Lee, and Keith Lee looked sweet.
He looked really good with Riddle. They made a good team.
Where he like jumped over those two dudes and stuff, and I was like, oh, okay, now we're seeing. Because the first time Joe and I seen Keith Lee, it was in Defiant Wrestling, because they had like the what was it? Like
probably
the world?
Somewhere around
the world,
WrestleMania.
What was the tournament called? The World what?
I don't know.
The World Cup or something of wrestling. So Keith Lee came, and we had no idea who he was. And all of a sudden he did like this flip out into the crowd and landed on his feet too when he hit a dude. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you seen a dude that's, what is he, like 6'8", 6'9", 350? Like, just a big dude, and he moves
and
like
it was like against a smaller dude too. It was against like a
wasn't
a
it Rey Mysterio?
Sure, I don't know.
I think it was Rey Mysterio.
Probably not, but sure.
It was a luchador.
Okay, they all look like Rey Mysterio.
That's messed up.
You're the one who said it.
That is messed up.
Speaking of luchadors, they had a great package for Angel Garza. Sweet.
Oh, yep, Angel Garza.
It was a beautiful package.
He gets those good matches.
Went on the history, talked about his uncle, talked about his history of his family and being luchadors and how he learned how to be a luchador. And so, perfect. This is where I say it was a little better. I want that from AEW. I don't want a billion packages for Cody Rhodes and his wife. I want some packages for some of these new guys. You know, let us know who some of these guys are. Let us know who those women that wrestled were on AEW, because I didn't really know who they were. You know,
guess what? They're putting Angel Garza on 205 Live. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Probably, but you don't have to ruin it like the first day. But I wouldn't. Well, there's no 205 left, but he will be a cruiserweight.
Okay. They.
But he has a lot of charisma.
They ended this show. They confirmed that they end the show.
Yeah, I've heard they have, but I haven't heard.
So what are they doing with them?
They'll just be NXT cruiserweights.
Maybe Kalisto leaves.
Let's.
Okay. All right. So now let's go into AEW. What'd you guys think of AEW? Did you watch all of that? Or did you fall asleep again?
I can recognize the... Nope, I've watched the whole thing. But I fell asleep the first day.
Oh, okay.
I rewatched it in the morning. But I could see the WCW in it. The Inner Circle. I love the whole thing where Chris was, like, in charge. And Sammy Guevara outside with... taking out like gold dust. Mm-hmm. I mean, no. Ah, I called him gold dust.
Dustin.
Mm-hmm. And it was, I was like, wow. They're showing us what they can do. It's now it's not just wrestling. They have story to it. It just took them a little bit.
Yeah. I thought it was a good show, but I didn't like that they took up time with, I'm all for Jericho getting the mic, but you gave Cody all this time riding in the limo. And then you give him time on a stage in front. Everybody knows who frickin' Cody Rhodes is, and everybody knows who Chris Jericho is. But there's other guys on the card that need to get over. So, the Best Friends, I thought that match was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was entertaining. I thought Orange Cassidy got some crazy pops, and people love Orange Cassidy.
That was a good match. I agree with you.
Jim Cornette doesn't like Orange Cassidy because he's outlaw wrestling and he's making a mockery of wrestling, but I'm sorry, Jim. Fans
he's over. He's yeah. over.
Yeah.
And Pride and Powerful attacked your favorite tag team.
Yep. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
There was a lot of great things.
Sure the people in West Virginia didn't like them. But
Well, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they
Yeah.
But
that's another thing. Like, I was surprised how much they were into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, okay. But the Adam Page match was good. Oh,
I tell you. Oh. Yeah, I know you're not a Sammy guy, but Sammy just brought the best match that I've seen Page give in AEW, in my opinion. Even better than Jericho.
Yeah, I just don't.
I mean, that was a good match.
He's just cocky.
Well, he's supposed to be. He's an idiot. He's a young, cocky loudmouth. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like Guevara, or you don't like Paige?
No, I don't like... Well, Paige I find kind of boring because it's the cowboy gimmick. I mean, it's been done my whole life as a kid. Barry Windham, guys like that. I mean, Cowboy Bob Orton. Yeah. Everybody's freaking cowboy. Morgan, I mean,
yeah, we can go on and on. Yeah.
But let's be serious. How many cowboys are there really? I mean...
But you don't like Guevara.
Well, the only cowboys I know is... Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. See what I did there, Joe?
Yeah, I know.
That's football. Saying. Okay. I know. But yeah. I don't think like the cowboy gimmick is I'm over that stuff.
But when
like,
he said cowboy shit, it was over. They started chanting it and everything and going crazy, so
yeah, he said cowboy shit. Wouldn't it be yeah, whatever. I mean, I like the movie Tombstone. I'm your Huckleberry. You know, Val Kilmer killed it in that movie. Everybody want to be freaking Doc Holliday after they seen that. Why, Johnny Ringo looks like somebody walked over your grave. See that, Joe? You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Watch the movie.
Way before your time.
NWO day. That was the NWA days when that movie came out. That's why you don't know. Yeah.
I watched the movie.
But.
Yeah, NWA. That's when
I watched the movie, though.
You did? No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. What's his name always talks about it?
Who? Oh, your friend?
Yeah.
Well,
he's weird.
I agree with you on the Cody stuff. I think that the limo thing was too long. Way too long. It should have been cut a little bit. I mean, you need to have it to set up the end. Like, Dustin's not going with him, Dustin, so that you set up that little thing at the end. But it just seemed long. That's why I mean how they didn't have the packages put together very well. And then another complaint. The women's match was not very good. I just didn't like it. What do you guys think?
Oh, the Fatal 4-Way?
Huh?
No, the
Fatal 4-Way? I know.
Oh,
I was
no,
like, here
the
comes
Fatal
Andrew's 4-Way
was
match.
From Dark. Yes, he told me
that's
that.
The Dark
oh,
one,
same
Joe.
Thing.
I did not Joe. See that because everything I heard is it was like one of the worst matches ever.
I seen it and I was like, here's Andrew's favorite match. Fatal four ways.
Nope.
No, I thought the women's match was actually pretty decent. I thought it was, in my opinion, I think it's the best match they had on TV for the women, but that's not saying much.
I didn't like it.
The one, the Japanese, was it Shayna?
Oh, yeah, that one was good.
Did you?
Yeah,
I didn't like it.
Really good match.
I felt
it
was boring.
Really?
I don't know. I watch that's too because, much Japanese wrestling.
But that's because you watch a lot of women's wrestling. Like, you watch Stardom, you watch Rise, you watch NXT. I think that's why you loved NXT, was because you had two great women matches. And
yeah,
then,
I had
know,
real
so
good Joshi wrestling
like,
versus Joshi wrestling.
Yeah, but, and I get that, but
she's a good
you got to at least admit it was better than the NWA match.
Yeah, it was. It was better than that.
Okay, then that's a win for AEW.
They did not showcase the Japanese wrestler very well, you know. And I just still don't think they have the right Japanese wrestler in here. They really need to go to Stardom and pick off one of the top girls, one that really that gives you that EO, Kairi Sane type thing.
See, I don't know if they need to go to Stardom. I think they need to go to Impact and steal some of their girls.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Yes, if they actually decide to wrestle American style, but I have a feeling this is going to go to something. I think Omega has his fingers on the women's division in a way that's holding the women's division back. The Joshi wrestlers in AEW are trying to wrestle the Japanese way 100% with the smiles and the playing to the crowd. That's very Japanese style if you watch the Stardom. If you look at NXT, EO, all those girls have learned from being in NXT to kind of incorporate some of the American style where they don't play cutesy to the crowd necessarily. It's more strong style almost. So I think it's like women's.
So they wrestle like
the
men do.
They're wrestling like strong.
So what you're saying is that AEW is like they're trying to treat their Joshi wrestlers like anime characters.
Yeah, well, and I get that that's popular in Japan, but it's not.
Are they doing it to get, like, nerd boners and stuff for that hentai crap?
I think that Kenny's just into that style, and I just don't think it translates well.
That's not the same thing. I don't know. It's like, remember when we watched DDT, they're all, like, cartoonish, and they weren't, like, I see how EO and them, they're, like, more like bad guys.
Even when they were good guys, they fought physical. Kairi's always been physical. Even when she was the good guy pirate, she was always physical. And Asuka was physical.
The Japanese women's wrestlers in Japan don't wrestle the same as... Like, the men in Japan, that's what you want them to
wrestle
like?
Yes, and there are some that do wrestle that way in Stardom. Some of the top girls that are wrestling the Bea Priestleys of the world are wrestling that way. And so that's why I say they need to pick one of these ones that's a little more physical, a little more... Because if... I think that's why you're getting these bad matchups with Britt Baker, with Allie and all them. They're just not, it's not meshing. It's two different styles and it's not meshing, you know.
Why isn't Allie fighting Britt Baker?
Exactly. That match would probably be a better match because they come from the same style of indie wrestling. They've wrestled in those kind of the same places multiple times. They've both been in Rise. They've both been in... Shimmer and all those places together, so they're going to have the same style and they're going to work well together.
I think, like you and I discussed, like I feel like they need to build around four women wrestlers, kind of like NXT started with, like with the four horse women, mm-hmm. Becky, Charlotte, you know, Sasha, Bailey.
Yeah.
And they need to build around four women and just give them time. And then maybe throw in a segment here or there to introduce more characters so that people can get drawn into them and understand mm-hmm. them. So that way, because right now they're just throwing together like two people each week and you're like, who are these people? And nobody's
invested.
They
need video packages.
They have too many women's wrestlers that they're not doing anything with.
Yeah, like, so instead of giving Cody time in a limousine, they should be giving... some of their women. I mean, no offense. Yeah, Cody is like, he's great and things like that. And everybody knows who he is. But for them to succeed and to compete with NXT, then these women have to get better. Otherwise, they're going to fall. Because right now, the NXT's like, what's their weakness? Women. So what'd they put on this episode? two great women matches. Then they're like, you know what? We'll even take it up better. We'll put them in the War Games and a steel cage and stuff, and show you and bring that.
Just, we're gonna show so you basically, eight or they nine were like, great women. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So basically, they just walked up to him like, bring it on. It was like, you just got served.
I totally agree. And they could do some things.
They're winning on women and. AW's winning on
tag team. Yep, but I'm going to say one thing I hate. I hate the random three-man matches. And for me, the random three-man matches was throwing Kip Sabian out there with Angelico and Jack Evans. When WWE does that on Raw, when they just throw some random people out there, I turn it off. Back when I watched, I would hate that.
They have to have some, like, something... like with each other.
The only way that it survived on Lucha Underground was because they made trio titles.
Mm, okay.
So if you put some belts on three dudes, then that's fine. Otherwise, it's like watching New Japan that, you know, you throw in three, four, five. I'm fast forward till I get to one-on-one or maybe
it was just to feature the Elite. Like, that's all that was. And that match could have been skipped.
And we don't need that every week either.
We don't need to see.
We don't need. Everybody knows who the Young Bucks is.
Yeah.
So instead of putting them on TV, why aren't they putting on, you know, the women or someone else that needs more time to develop? Like,
Kip a singles match.
But you said, okay, but they are giving you what you wanted a couple months ago. You said that you didn't want to see only gymnast Young Bucks. You wanted to see, like, some strong style because they're. They're too gymnasty. They need to have some like hard hitting, and they need to be angry. So they're kind of giving.
They didn't give it to you in that match. And Helico and Jack Evans were still flying all over the damn place. I mean, there were some great spots. Cool. Don't get me wrong. There were some really exciting spots. But I don't know. It's like you could have used your time better, and I don't need to see that match. And then to top it all off, what the hell is Kenny Omega doing in a match with the Elite? He is doing nothing. To set up his Moxley feud. Moxley did all the work. Moxley came out and cut a promo and did all the work for that pay-per-view match. And Kenny's out there dressing up like video game characters and acting like a goofball with the Elite.
And I'm afraid that he's the next to hold the title there.
I think it's going to be a mistake.
And I don't want to see him have the title. Like, I would get like Cody getting the title, but I think it's too early for him. And if they're going to put it on Kenny...
Ugh.
Man, I don't know, because then you're still giving it to one of the dudes, because they just gave the tag titles to one of their dudes too, the SCU, and everyone's gonna be like, oh, it's not okay for WWE to give it to who they think, but if AEW does it, it's okay.
It doesn't
because
make
you're
sense.
Gonna get that, you know. The,
it doesn't
the
make
fans
sense are. That they're putting Kenny in the trio with the Bucks. And you, like you said, at the pay-per-view, he has almost a main event match. And to put the title on him, he's not even having singles matches.
Yeah, he's not doing anything. He's not building this up. He's not, like, angry, thinking about my big match
Kenny
with Moxley. No comment about the fact that now it's a, you know, what's it called? Unsanctioned?
Do they book their own
See,
show?
That's what because I'm worried about, is that Kenny is booking
himself. I don't want them to be putting themselves
shit.
With their best friends.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to wrestle with my best friends tonight. Yeah. Somebody needs to book this for them so that they're not main eventing themselves every night.
Yeah, I've come around to what you said, Fred. I'm falling off the Omega. He's starting to become my least favorite wrestler in that whole thing.
I honestly, I'm not a fan of him because he's kind of like he does the knee trigger and they're like, oh, look at the knee trigger, it's so sweet. Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura, Ibushi does it, a lot of dudes do that freaking move, but when he does it, it's supposed to be you're done, come on, bro. But the thing that I do like, that I feel like they saved John Moxley this week with the thing where he runs in and talks to Tony Khan backstage, and he basically says, you're doing me like everyone else does me, and this blood is on your hands and things like that. And then I'm like, okay, so they address something that fans probably were saying, and we're like, we need to fix this.
Yeah.
So now he went all Stone Cold Steve Austin on everyone.
So they have Stone Cold and the NWO.
He's very Stone Cold. I would agree with you. And you know what? I think that the best promos have a little truth in it. I think there is a little truth in what he's saying. They are protecting Omega. Because how do you get out of this by Moxley beating Omega when you're trying to build Omega up for the title matches? You make it unsanctioned so it doesn't go against Omega's record. I think there's a little bit of truth to what Moxley's saying. Of course, they're working.
So that just proves that Omega's getting the belt.
So I think you're right. So I think they're setting it up like, okay, we can't have this loss affect Omega, but we don't want Mox to lose. How do we do that? Let's make it unsanctioned.
And that makes sense. That's why Seth Rollins attacked him on Twitter, because he even sees that he's going to get the belt. So what do? You throw shade at the other organization, be like, oh, this guy, minor leaguer and stuff.
Plus, I still think that those two guys talked to each other. They were too close of best friends, so all of a sudden just kind of shut it down. I don't see Dean and Seth not still being close friends.
Oh, I thought you meant like Dean.
No, I mean, Seth and Kenny. No, Dean and Seth. I think they still, he's like, yeah, they're going to put the title on his ass.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
I mean, knew it was going to happen anyways, because these guys all have stake in that company.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just don't understand what I'm making. And I think it's what you said, Joey. I think they're booking themselves. And he's booking himself weird. And he's booking the women weird. So I think Omega's blown. I think the Bucks booked themselves pretty well. I also think the people the Bucks have brought in have turned out to be legit. They brought in Private Party. Yeah. They brought in some of these other guys. And they've been good.
They pretty much brought in the Lucha Bros too.
Yeah. Well, and then they haven't said their names, but they brought in the Beaver Boys. And if you watch like Beyond Wrestling and things like those guys are really good. Yeah. But they haven't had a chance to show how good they are.
They're just getting squashed. They're
jobbers, like they're Barry Horowitz and stuff, but they're actually really good wrestlers if you watch them in those organizations. But yeah, I'd agree, like the tag team, if they're the ones booking the tag team, then the Bucks need to take more control.
Yeah,
I think the Bucks are okay with controlling the tag team division, but Kenny needs to keep his hands off for a minute.
Yeah, he's not doing a good job with Mox. I don't like it. But
is he booking him too? He's booking himself.
He's booking. He's in that feud, so I think he gets a say. And yeah, he hasn't done a good job.
I think he's looking as like an artist and stuff. And he's like, oh, but if I do this, and then we get drama here and this and that. And he's looking at the big picture, and he's like, you know.
But he wants like a painter, to be in the big picture too.
He could paint something and think it's amazing, but everybody else be like, "Oh, look at that! That's shit." Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't be. Yeah. I mean, so
keep it simple, man.
Yeah, like I want to see more Moxley. I want to see more Pac.
Yeah.
I want to see those dudes. I want to see.
There was no Pac this week.
Yeah, and then you don't put the titles on the Lucha Bros, so now I want to see Phoenix and...
Phoenix and Penta.
Okay,
and
Penta
against each other.
No, not against each other. I want to see them fight. Like, give me Rey Fénix versus Kenny Omega and AEW. Give me Pentagon and let him break his arm on there.
I've got a theory on that tag team thing. I think that it was meant to be a longer match, but everyone else used up the time. So they had to go home and finish this match, and that's why it was a kind of like shitty ending. And the crowd didn't even pop, because I don't think the crowd expected.
No, they actually, some of them were booing.
Yeah. And I think maybe they miss. Scorpio Sky was hot this last city they were in, but Scorpio Sky was not hot in this city. I'm telling you, they were. Mm-hmm. It was about pushing Scorpio Sky, and it didn't work in West Virginia. West Virginia didn't give a shit. They were all Lucha Bro.
And they focused on making the Lucha Bros look strong the whole time. And so the way that they saved face was the quick roll up and give them the win, and that's it. But people are getting tired of, like, the roll up, too. So, I mean, that's the only way I think physically they could have beat them anyways, because there's no way that you tell me Lucha Bros are going to lose to SCU. Lucha Bros are, like, probably the best tag team in the world. I mean, LAX is up there too, but the only way that they lose is by a roll-up.
So you got to give the Bucks, they're the Bucks were smart. They said, okay, we won't put the title on ourselves and we'll pull ourselves out of that picture, but we're going to fight LAX. So they still did pull a big card for themselves.
So then now LAX, if they win, they fight SCU?
That would be cool. I'd be all for that.
And so then LAX they get the belts. And
everybody.
So do you think the Inner Circle gets all the gold?
At least the tag and the, yeah, the main one, I would say.
Aren't those the only title? Oh, no. There's.
The I think they're going to introduce a secondary belt at some point.
Yeah, I think they have to.
Do you give it to Hager or do you give it to Sammy?
Do you think it's cruiserweight, hardcore, or like inter, like one of those random
names? I don't know. Is Hager in it for the long haul or is he just like.
He says he is. He says he's full in with the wrestling now that his Bellator is over and he's going to start actually wrestling.
Remember the Disciple for Hulk Hogan? Is that his spot?
That was Brutus Beefcake.
I know.
No, it's not.
But is he's that more his spot? Like,
I think he's Kevin Nash. That's how I keep looking at him. At early Kevin Nash, Big Daddy Cool Diesel. When Shawn Michaels first introduced him as his bodyguard. I think that's where he is more. The silent, quiet, big enforcer guy. And if they keep him there, it'll be fine. If they start giving him promos, then, no.
Yeah, I think they need to introduce, like, a TV championship, and I think that...
Didn't they just sign an MMA guy for him?
Who?
They signed some big MMA guy
I've never heard of.
Oh, the guy overseas?
Yeah, they showed some kind of... No. That's a boxer. A Gogo?
Yeah.
Well, Gogo's a boxer. He won the bronze medal. He's a British boxer.
So that's their Tyson Fury.
Yeah. But they were looking at him way before then. All the way back before Double or Nothing, they were looking at him.
I think they need the TV title and put it on Sean Spears.
That's a good one. Because that brings that gives you something to do with Sean Spears. That gives you something to do with Dustin. Gives you something to do with...
Sean Spears is like a second thought because Sammy. You keep giving time to all these other guys, all your friends and stuff. And eventually people are going to be like, they're going to stop being loyal and they're going to be like, you know, it's the same stuff every city they go to.
So are they appealing to the live crowd too much?
I think so.
Because the live crowd obviously ate up that Young Bucks Omega match.
But it's okay if you give the live crowd those dark matches and put it on TV later. Who cares?
Dark isn't as important.
They're still seeing it.
It's still good matches, though. True. They see it. We don't until Tuesdays.
So why isn't Cody or the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega fighting dark? I mean, Kenny did fight Joey Janela on a dark match. It was probably Kenny Omega's best match.
Yeah.
Was the dark match. Because Joey sold the shit out of that match.
Well, we just made it sound like we hated the AEW show, and I don't think we did. It's just I think we're being like worried that we're this many shows in and we're seeing some mistakes. And you have a lot of goodwill with all the fans. Don't become WWE Part 2.
Right.
You know,
we need somebody for AEW that knows all the indie guys that will know how to book the show. They need somebody that just books the show.
I think the way that we could say about AEW is we're like the New England Patriots fans, and they're still going to find flaws, but they're still 8-0.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've saw Dr. Joe like on Twitter, and he'll be like, oh, these guys fucking blow. This is like all this stuff, and they still get a win. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you just expect great things, and you want good things because you know the talent's there. And stuff, and it's a thing. It's like it's the mentality I have. You can ask Joe. I move the cheese a lot to push him harder.
The cheese every day.
To push him harder at things, you know, because once you achieve that goal, you need to. We got to get better at
right
other things.
Right before I touch the cheese, he moves it.
Yeah, right before he gets there, I'm like, no, not so quick.
Well, we probably should wrap it up because I think we've gone a pretty long time talking
really?
This today. Yeah. Longer than we normally go. We got passionate. It was good shit. So, all right.
NXT. Which one was better? That's the end of the show. Which
NXT.
One was
That's
you
think
my NXT? Vote. NXT.
NXT they were both because good, the women.
And Balor,
showcased.
Baby.
Yeah.
Balor was badass.
They played to their strengths.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it to NXT.
Balor's back. I want to see what he's going to do next.
But the ratings, AEW's still winning, so.
Yep, barely.
Yep.
I'm really curious what the ratings are next week.
It's still more like 200,000, though.
Yeah. No more excuses next week. Let's see what they do without baseball.
They got to bring it this week anyways. It's the go-home show before the pay-per-view.
Yep. Yeah, Kenny.
Oh, my God.
Remember, you have a match.
Stop looking at your...
What?
He's going to put himself with the Bucks. If he puts himself with the Bucks, I'm going to cry.
I think he's more concerned about his little Halloween costume. So.
Yeah, that's weird. He's a weird dude.
Yeah. Get some good female. We're probably going to get a lot of Brandy and Awesome Kong. That's coming down the pike.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
That's Kevin Sullivan. That was Kevin Sullivan all over it, if you ask me.
We need Sue Young in the women's division.
That was like, yeah, I was waiting for Rosemary to pop up, man.
Hell yeah.
And then we got Awesome Kong. What happened to Awesome Kong and Asher Kong? Well,
guess not. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. You can find our podcast at nerdylegion.com. Look for Indie Alley or just subscribe to the whole thing and get everybody and every podcast you can imagine. You can follow our page at Indie Alley. You can follow Fred at Comics Fred. You can follow me at Real Comics, though I haven't been on Twitter like in forever, but I still have a page. And I think that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you can follow our other page at Nerds From.
Yes.
But you get the feed under Indie Alley anyways, but yeah. Or follow Johnny Rico. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Wrestling's real. People are fake.
We out.